Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey Rangers, it's me, Jackie Cation, and it is another year of the Dork Forest. What the heck, right? So you should know that the website, JackieCation.com or thedorkforest.com or dorkforest.com, if you don't enjoy a determiner, are all still available. You could hear the show on all of the different things. I've been trying to figure out how to get off Spotify. Try not to listen to Spotify because they throw in ads that are not approved by me, Jackie Cation. So, we'll see what I could do. Anyway, but so you could always watch the show on my YouTube channel. I think it's The Dork Forest or Jackie Cation. It's all linkable on JackieCation.com, the Dork Forest page. And I have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show. Not quite as sleepable because it's just me and Laurie Kilmartin bitching about stand-up comedy and also celebrating it. Anyway, so here's the thing. You can donate again to the show. If you enjoy the show, I would love for you to donate about $100 a year because that keeps everything in rolling along. And you can do PayPal, which is my email, jackie@jackiecation.com, which you can also email me anything you like about the shows and stuff like that. You can Venmo me at Jackie Cation. That's my Venmo handle. And if you see me in real life at a comedy show, you could just hand me a sweaty wad of 20s or whatever you like. That'd be great. And I also do stand-up comedy. So you can see my tour dates on JackieCation.com. You can see, you can listen to very old episodes of The Dork Forest on my Bandcamp. And I also put my very first album that I ripped. It's on my Bandcamp page. It's called It's not Circus People. It's Cake Is Not My Downfall, which is a track on the Bread album, but it has other jokes that are not on the Bread album. The audio is what it is, but there's also some very early Dork Forests and a storytelling album called Storytime, all on Bandcamp, and everything's either free or a couple of bucks. So new album coming out in February called Altercation and new special. And that, I'm sure there's more to it, but let's get into the show. It's me, Jackie Cation. You're familiar with my work because you're here listening to The Dork Forest. With me today are comics. That's right. One of them's in San Francisco. They're both, I think, in San Francisco right now. Right? Because it's Caleb Zarang. There we go. It's Nailed Caleb it. Zarang. Caleb Zarang, which rhymes with meringue. And that's his Instagram. It's going to be Caleb.meringue. And it's going to be the notes. And he's a comic. And then Jenny Zagrino, who's also a comic and spelled like Jenny Zagrino. And she's exactly at Jenny Zagrino, weirdly enough. They have written a thing. There's going to be a table read about it. And we're going to talk about sort of the stuff, the dorky stuff that made them write the damn thing. But you could see the table read of it on May 3rd at the Elysian here in Los Angeles. It's called The Drill Master. But May 1st, if you are in San Francisco, you can go see them do stand-up because Caleb's going to be featuring, Jenny's going to be headlining. Go to CalebZarang.com, also in the notes. JennyZagrino.com, also in the notes. Or you can go to thedrillmaster.gay, and that's exciting. There's also Caleb's thing, which is luigithemusical.info, which is going to be off-Broadway in New York City. Woohoo! June 15 to the 20th. A lot of info, but here we are, just a minute and a half in. So you have now 58 minutes to tell me about theater and history and what the hell. What are you doing? Oh,
so exciting. Caleb, you want to take it? Start us off strong.
Oh, I'm very weak as a person, so I don't think I can do that.
No, I'm very excited. Yeah, we've been writing this historical comedy. We say it's like kind of an O Mary meets Hamilton. There is no music in it. There's a lot of gayness. So that's really where the crossover is.
Yes.
Yeah. So we are telling the mostly true story of America's gayest founding daddy, Wilhelm Augustus. What's his full name, Jenny?
Baron Friedrich Wilhelm Augustus Ludendorff. A couple other ones in there. Von Steuben.
Yes.
Is he the general from the Revolutionary War?
Yep.
Yes.
Who taught guys how to march in a row? That guy.
Yeah. And how to use poppers.
Very important to military, is poppers.
Morale.
The first openly gay, polyamorous general of the American Revolution.
Was he openly gay, or did just everyone know that he was gay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't take
gay.
Out an ad.
He didn't invent Grindr.
Okay.
He didn't go on the field and be like, I'm gay, everybody. In the play, he does. But in real life, he wasn't like, hello, everyone, I'm gay. It was that Franklin and Washington were like, that guy's gay, right? And they're like, yeah.
And they're like, it's cool. Not going to bother us. It's going to be fine.
He just blew me out back, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, I think he's gay.
I'm sure Benjamin Franklin was psyched. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, Benjamin Franklin was like crazy, like a crazy F boy. I don't know if we can curse, but yeah, in Paris.
Fuck it.
He was a fuck boy in Paris. Everybody wanted to fuck Franklin. So this play features that side of him.
It was because of his mind. It was because of his mind.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it was because of his ass.
He had a real hog on him, okay? A real, real corn-fed American hog.
Yeah, 9 inches, uncut.
Third leg.
Yeah.
And welcome to what will promises to be several dick jokes about our founding fathers.
Yes.
I love it. I'm a huge fan. What do you know about gays and history? Do you know about it? Did this, what started it, or...
Gay started with the Romans, if I recall correctly. That's where it all homosexuality originated, right?
It would have been the Greeks. The Greeks.
The Greeks. The Greeks. Yes. Yeah. I don't know. What about you? What do you think?
I'm gonna. Yes, and the Greeks started it. I mean, you know.
No, we love that. Sure, but here's my real question: is what made you want? How did you find out about this dude?
So I don't know if you know this about me, Jackie, but I write gay 18th century romance novels starring the founding fathers called Pounding Fathers.
No.
I know.
I do not know that. Pounding Fathers, you guys, get out there.
So I was doing some research I came across this guy because Hamilton and Lawrence were, apparently lovers. Again, with history, they're like, oh, you can't really say for sure. And it's like, if you read the letters, Hamilton's like, tell him how big my dick is and I want to fuck you and my wife. Like, that's like, they were in love. They were
gay. Lawrence, the abolitionist?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
see, I know who these people are. Turns out I don't know what they were doing in their pants or without their pants.
Without it. So Hamilton and Lawrence were apparently in a relationship. And they were, but, you know, for history's sake. And I came across Steuben because Hamilton and Lawrence were also aide-de-camps to Steuben when he was here. And he also had two other aide-de-camps, Benjamin Walker and William North. And those two were also probably in a relationship together. And then they became a throuple after the war. So
who became a throuple? The German
Steuben,
dude?
Steuben, William North. And Walker. And after the war, he adopts them. Yeah.
Well, that, of course, plays right into the power struggle that is
Old and that's actually how the Eagle was founded, the very first Eagle, as a result of that. So most people don't know that.
Yeah.
What is that? Is that a reference? Is that a Sexy Times reference that I don't understand?
Oh, yeah. So gay the bar. Eagle is like a gay leather bar in New York, San Francisco, L.A.
Okay.
It's,
okay.
Where my
it's
type of guys
go. Very patriotic. Yeah, very patriotic.
And we're actually doing the first stage greet at the Eagle in San Francisco tonight, which is going to be really fun. So all the leather daddies will be out there. Yeah. It's actually a sling reading instead of a stage reading. So we're going to all be
fair
in.
Enough.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
look forward to the next 50 minutes where words are explained to Jackie Cation.
Unplanned pregnancy? Learn how people are getting abortion pills by mail for a safe abortion at home, no matter what state they live in, at plancypills.org. That's plancypills.org.
That's all right, Jackie. I thought you were a dork. I've had to learn so much when writing this with Caleb. One point he was like, they should send him to the dark room. I'm like, what's a dark room? Do you know what a dark room is, Jackie?
It's where you develop photographs.
You develop something in there.
And that's exactly what it is.
It's you remember Bruce, Bruce Daniels. Bruce Daniels joke about the guy who kept telling him that he wasn't gay, but then kept making out with him. And finally he said, I don't know, I'm not gay. I just want to lay you down in a bed and make love to you. And he goes, you aren't gay. You're a woman. There's a bathroom like 2 feet from here. Why do we have to go find a bed?
It's so funny because Jenny just told me about the Al Pacino movie Cruising for like 30 minutes. So we're often in like a like tit for tat of who's gayer between Jenny and I. So that's like a really fun dynamic between us.
Have you got a chance to see Cruising?
I have not. I just learned about it last night. Yeah.
I have seen it several times. Well,
I've seen Cruising. I have not seen the movie so far.
Well, then it is, I believe, set in the late 70s. Is that true? It was shot in the 80s, I think, right?
I think it's actually, now that I think about it, it might have been 79 is when it came out.
It might have been, okay, it might have came out.
By 1985, Al Pacino takes, Al Pacino takes a break because he stars in a movie called Revolution, which is a horrible movie about the American Revolution. And it's so bad that he stops acting for like 4 years.
Oh, the actual movie is so bad?
It flops so badly that Al Pacino quits acting.
And we're really hoping our play does the same for us.
Yes.
Actually.
We just want a break, Jackie.
Yeah.
I didn't. So Al Pacino is in Cruising, though? I did not know that.
Yeah, he's the lead. He's the cop.
He's the cop who wants to bust these guys for having a good time?
Oh, he wants to bust them, for sure.
He eventually does realize that he is the busting type. Al Pacino is the main guy. Everyone should go see Cruising. It has nothing to do with the
1980.
Play, really go 1980. See it.
Get our play. Go see Al Pacino in Cruising. You know,
right? Well, and we can't spend an hour talking about the play. We have to spend an hour talking about what you love. So there's no need. We can talk about the play. We can talk about.
Well, I know that you asked for a list from us, and I just sent Cruising 5 times, so I'm sorry. I think that's just really what we have to...
That's it. We're doing one in an hour about ghosts.
Oh, so, fun.
I do love ghosts. Good times. I'm a big ghost fan.
I'm fascinated about the movie that isn't Cruising. That is actually... Because this could be a twofold dorkdom where it's both gay, what's happening with the gays, and then what's happening with the history. So what was the name of the Revolutionary War movie?
Al Pacino movie?
Yep.
Revolution.
It was literally just called Revolution.
Called Revolution. Yeah, look it up. Let me see. I want to look.
Oh, yeah. There it is. Holy shit. 1985.
Yep.
A trapper joins the fight against the British in 1776 after his teenage son is tortured by a redcoat and the father wants to seek revenge for his child.
Yeah, it is at on tvguide.com, 22%.
It is on 22%.
Wow.
Rotten Tomatoes, 10%.
Yep, it is that bad. I would also quit.
Yeah, you might want to take a break at least, just sort of regroup, see if you could hang out with Beverly D'Angelo and have twins. Just
exactly.
Something. It's that's what happens there. There's the trailer. It cost $28 million to make in 1985. Yeah. Probably most of it went to Al Pacino.
So I was obsessed with Al Pacino. I still am. I still love him.
Really?
Obsessed with Al Pacino. So I went and saw every movie of his, and this was the one movie that I could not finish. I got 20 minutes in and I was like, I'm out.
And you even like history.
Oh, I know. I was like, even the costumes.
Right. Did you say you're writing, are they 18th century or 19th century?
18th. So it's the Founding Fathers.
So it's 18th century. Founding Fathers. Yes.
Founding Fathers. So this one that's going to come out soon. I took a minute of a break to work on this, but the one that's coming out is called Temptation at Ticonderoga. And it's about Benedict Arnold and Ethan Allen and their takeover of Fart Ticonderoga. And they also have sex in it.
Do they also have sex in it? Did you get to now? Did you guys watch? Sex. Did you watch the Ken Burns Revolutionary War?
Yes, I'm not done with it yet.
Documentary.
I'm not done with it yet.
Spoiler alert. We're dicks. So I was.
Oh, you mean we weren't just fighting for freedom? We were also fighting for colonization,
land,
the Appalachians.
And we're fighting for land and fighting for slavery and fighting for just a chance to roll the bodies, as always.
Yep.
I'm just sorting
my playbill collection here. Don't mind me.
Right, exactly. What made you do it besides the fact that he was all gay?
I was going
to
say that
more
it's also...
to it.
There's also a love for theater, but I think that just ties into gay. I think that you could just label that... it just really covers both of it. Yeah, I love theater. I think Jenny actually approached me. I don't know if you saw Boots, Jackie. Did you see that? I know everybody was heated. Nope. Rivalry. Okay, so Boots is about the true story of a Marine that came out during like the 70s before Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed. And he was queer and his experience of like escaping an abusive childhood into the military, but then also going through like the abuse of the military and the homophobia. Really funny, all queer cast. And then he did Rivalry, sucked up all the attention for the gay stuff, which was such a bummer. But I did Air Force ROTC and it really resonated with me. And I realized like, oh, I really want to make queer art like that. And then Jenny, like literally just serendipitously, like 2 weeks later called me and was like, hey, do you want to make gay stuff? And I was like, yeah, I sure do.
Yeah.
So it really resonated with me because this guy literally wrote the military code of ethics that we still use to this day. Which is crazy to me. And nobody knows about him. Like, well, you do, but like none of the gays do. But I don't, it's very exciting to tell a story. And I love theater. That's what all these are.
They are.
I love it.
So there's a movie that just came out called Boots. I'm going to recap what I heard. Oh, it's a TV show. How many episodes?
Eight.
Like
I
eight?
Want to say.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was the most popular show on Netflix, and it got canceled because of pressure from the Pentagon because it features like openly gay military service members.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like one of the things that drew me to this, Caleb already has a great play out called Luigi the Musical. And I was like, I think he'd be a great writing partner for this. And also,
she was really wrong, unfortunately.
I was so wrong.
Right.
When there's acrimony.
Yeah. Well, what resonated with me about his story specifically is that he's a queer immigrant that comes to America, and this administration is trying so hard to erase both those groups, but it is built into our foundation as a nation. You know, there are other horrible things built in, but this is a good one. Is that
right? And there's so many. Yeah. There's many good things about this nation, but it's just absolute power corrupts absolutely at every level. Mm-hmm. Flight attendants, classic example. It doesn't matter. So what I like is so Boots is about a Marine, and the guy who came out in the 70s, he wrote Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or he wrote the protocols? What did he write?
No, he wrote the book called, I believe it's called The Pink Marine. His name's Gregory Cope. And so then he also ended up being one of the writers, the lead writers for this show as well. And it's fantastic. It's funny. It's moving. Made me cry numerous times. And it just really touched me. Yeah.
Right.
It's just a very visibly queer cast. Even on Instagram, they're like, they look like my friends and they're joyfully queer, which is really nice to see. And that's something Jenny and I have been really done with this play too, is like, this guy was super gay. He loved to have a good time. He was great at his job though. And like, we really worked hard to write like joyfully queer endings at the, the men did not have great endings most of the time, but we wrote a fantasy version of what they get in the end. So well, I'm pretty excited about that.
Right. And the thing is probably 3 weeks ago, I did an episode about hockey in general and heated rivalry in particular. Because I had not watched it because my crack, my porn is Regency romance novels, Sexy Times. And when I say history, those are in quotes and varying degrees of quality as far as the history goes. You know, like I read Bridgerton before it was on TV. And but heated rivalry, the woman who was on the show, spacing her name, congratulations. it was Amo. It was Amo Marfa. She featured for me in Vermont. Never mind. I got it. She said, Jackie, I just want you, you just have to know, Jackie, that it's a romance novel. So they get together at the end of the show.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, now I can watch it. Because there's every story of gay love, homosexual love, they kill themselves or they are killed. Right. And so, bummer, man, that's not what I'm watching TV and reading books for. I'm trying to check out. Don't be an asshole. So, I like it. So Boots, is Boots, I mean, he lives clearly, right?
Yeah. And he, well, I'll check and I'll get back to you on that. But yeah, he's alive right now, as far as I know. But yeah, he ends up really, like, he gets accepted by his best friend. His best friend's actually really supported out of the gate. And then a lot of them end up accepting him as well. Like, it's not, like, all happy-go-lucky, but it definitely, I personally left home from a pretty homophobic environment, too. And I wrestled with, like, almost going into the military for a very similar trajectory and reason. So I think it's just a very, like, clear-eyed lens of it. But he finds a lot of joy and brotherhood in this. So it's a really, really uplifting story.
That's great. And as much as I liked Bros, with the movie Bros, this, I thought Heated, I've only seen four or five episodes of Heated Rivalry so far.
Oh, they're going to come for you now that you've said that. They are vicious. They're the new Swifties. Fifth episode?
Yeah, what? The fifth episode, the fifth one where he speaks Russian. Did I cry? Yes.
Oh, no, I did see that one. So I must be at six. I must be at six. Yeah. Cause it was super, it's incredibly touching and it's very sweet and very funny. And it was, so I literally am doing four podcasts today. So I have no time to do it.
Heated rivalry is very realistic because like the top doesn't text the bottom for 9 months. So like, it's really realistic in that way.
I feel like one thing I wanted to bring forward with the play is that it is very campy and very kind of O'Mary silly, but there is definitely like, there's a lot of heart to it about this idea that, you know, you don't need all these outside things to have value and worth. You exist and you are worthy, which is what Hamilton. So we have Hamilton and Lawrence are in the play. And that's what Hamilton is. Hamilton's like, I'm worthy because I exist. The Baron thinks that he's only worthy because of his medals and all of this that he's always trying to get. So I think that like one thing that we both achieved really well is this balance of campy fun, but also this very deep heart warming thing that that I also think transcends sexuality. Like, the same way that that's why Heated Rivalry is so good is because it does transcend sexuality. It's at its core.
It's just a human experience. It's just a it's just a romance about two young men, and they're they sound like every dude I've ever met in my life with the ball busting and the, you know, and they're just like, And you're just like, all right, there's a reason why I just date one of you at a time. And yeah. So there's no need to be around all of this energy.
Yes.
I think
I would have been a terrible gay man. Yes.
Well, you know, you can still try. We'll give it a go someday.
Aspiration.
I think like something I really, my nerdy thing is theater. I love theater. Like my boyfriend and I, yes, I am gay. Spoiler alert to anyone who hasn't met me in real life. I know, shocker, with this Lady Gaga shirt on and the 50 playbills sitting next to me. We go see theater all the time. And I'm like, why do I like theater so much? I was thinking for the show. I think you're just born that way as a queer man. But I do think there's not a safe place for like us to express our feelings a lot. Cause I grew up in the South and you just get your ass kicked. A lot of the times you get beat up and you're worried about being harassed. And I think theater is the place you just get to have a musical dance number and like express your feelings for another man and you feel safe on it. And it's so ridiculous and campy. And there's a lot of elements of drag culture in it. So I'm just like, yeah, I think theater is just such a fun place to safely explore feelings, which I really, really love about it.
For sure. Now, did you ever see the movie or a production of 1776?
I have not, but Jenny just sent me a clip to this and I want to see it now.
It's playing in New Jersey next week. They're in Theater in New Jersey is doing a production and it sounds really good. I'll send you the clip, Jackie. I'm really excited.
Excellent.
Although I saw the movie, I did not like the movie, but I did like that Mr. Feeney was John Adams.
Right. John Adams, he did a good job. I like the movie when I was a kid. I have the advantage of I saw it during the correct window. Much like some people like Phantom Menace when they can't accept that it's genuinely terrible. Yeah. But it's fine. You were 11. It's great.
Jackie, I want you to know that I did put in a Star Wars reference into this play.
Did you know? Well,
I did.
How nice. It's I just bought a Rebel Alliance t-shirt with the Minnesota Loon on it.
Oh, yeah. I love nice. It. I love it. I want that. Okay.
I've gone deep.
There's a new pod racing video game coming out, I heard, by the way, which like, I don't know if you ever played the N64 one, but I'm kind of excited because I played that.
I played the upright. Oh. Which was,
I haven't heard of that.
It's just, you know, when you go to like a Shakey's or an arcade, I played the arcade.
Oh, you're talking about the like physical pod racing machine game. Yeah. I played that too. That was fun. Yeah. That's Are you more great. Star Trek or Star Wars girl?
Emotionally Star Trek, but there's too much Star Trek. So I've watched Wars because Star Wars is just a space opera.
Yeah.
And,
space drag.
And I love space opera, but I also love, the idea behind, Star Trek a great deal.
So. Picard was so good, wasn't it? Picard season one. Oh my God. So
I didn't
good.
See it. See, because the thing is,
hang up this podcast right now.
Well, and there's so much Star Trek I haven't seen that you might as well just say, I take it you liked Voyager. Yes, I did. So that's probably the last one I watched in full.
Nice.
Because I wanted to watch with Scott Bakula, whose name rhymes with Butt Crackula. And it's whatever
I mean. I don't think it does. I think you kind
of made
that yourself. Butt Crackula?
Scott Bakula? Come on. Those two totally rhyme.
It rolls off
Scott
the tongue.
Butt don't work. All right.
But Crackula Bakula. All right. Bakula Crackula. It's good times. It's moments of family fun.
Yeah, that's the name of my next romance novel. Bakula and my Crackula.
And this is the writing that our play is featured on, everyone. So, you know, that's the kind of...
Right, this is the kind of quality comedy that's going to be coming forth.
Yeah.
Just so you know. But here's the thing. The reason I know about Von What's-His-Face is because I read a lot about the Revolutionary War. And they always said, so he came to the United States and was joined the Revolution because he was kicked out of the Prussian army for being gay. And so I like the idea that he I don't like the idea that he was kicked out of the Prussian army for being gay, but I like the idea that he was like, you know where they're going to need these skills and they're not going to care is that revolution in the United States.
I know. So, yeah. Okay. So technically, well, just the actual history is even more interesting. He wasn't really kicked out of the Prussian army for being gay because he became aide-de-camp to Frederick the Great, who was very gay. Very gay.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Was everyone brother. Gay? Jenny?
In yes. my world, yes. Yes.
Okay. Like literally yes. almost yes.
Actually, they say 10%, yeah. but when you actually look at the leaders of the free world, and not the free world, but you look at their yeah. leaders, a lot of gay. Okay.
A lot, because, you know, you
well,
have
we're
to
recording
try.
This like, what, a day after Kristi Noem's husband's a crossdresser? Like, it's like, it's fine. Just like, let everybody do what they want to do.
Oh, my God. Know? My sister, who is gay, said, you know, I guess he's a crossdresser. I don't care, but stop bullying me.
Right.
Like, yeah.
And also you could probably get some help to look better. Like you can contour that face, honey. You know, you can make it better.
Those titties were wild. They're so
wild.
The nipples were everywhere. Then yeah. I don't even know how that worked.
I have not seen the photos. I'm good.
Oh,
well, this is what happens when you outlaw drag queens, you know?
You don't need them. You don't need to see the photos. Nah. But right. Yeah,
but only drag queens have outlaws when you outlaw drag
right.
queens.
That's right. True.
So Frederick the Great was gay. And what may have happened is he may have had something go on with Frederick, which got him kicked out of the army, or it was that the army was simply downsized. But then he goes and works for this prince for 11 years. We don't try to say his name. It's impossible. Hollenzollern, whatever. And then he was going to get a commission in France, but the rumor that he had relations with young men was going around, but like there was one rumor about it, and it was only like in one letter someone referenced it. But France is Catholic versus Prussians who are more Protestant. So it was really, really frowned upon.
Right, it was France. Really, really secretive. Yes.
Yeah, real secretive. unless, of course, you are a king.
Can we also say that, like, that's been, like, a huge accusation against, like, gay people for all of time is that they're, like,
yeah.
with younger people and stuff like that. And that's, like, it's just, like, the number one way to, like, basically attack and hurt gay people. And even queer historians are, like, this has never been verified. It's also, like, highly inaccurate and... It's upsetting. So I just wanted to make sure to call that out.
Right. Yeah. Please do. Just because I can't remember. It was a very famous science fiction piece. And it was it a book? Boo. Anyway, it came
Star
out
Trek.
That that one of the, it might have been Star Trek, but whatever it was, is it came out that this guy, I know what it was. Talk about welcome to the Dork Forest, where Jackie
TikTok,
has watched too many episodes of Murdoch's Mysteries. It's essentially the Canadian version of Castle, and it's what everybody's mom watches. So I could have been everybody's mom, you guys. And one day you will be everybody's mom or dad. So fuck off. One day. So, but here's the thing: Murdoch's Mysteries is supposedly set in the late 1800s, early 1900s, right? So in the early 1900s, in Toronto, this guy, it turns out that this hard ass, kind of the bad guy cop, it turns out he's gay. And so it becomes,
Al Pacino?
Is it Al Pacino? Damn.
I wish it were Al Pacino. But there's a great scene in it, which I thought was really great of Murdoch's Mysteries to put in the damn thing, about, because he was the bad guy, right? You could have left him. Because now they've made, as they often do, they make the bad guy gay or lesbian. And then all of a sudden they kill somebody because somebody doesn't love them and whatever. But so this guy is being there. He's talking with our hero and he says, so do you have sex? It was something about a very young person, like a child. And the guy looks at me and says, are you attracted to children? Because I am not attracted to children. I am attracted to other men. So it is an entirely different thing. And don't mix it up, you asshole. You could throw me in jail for being attracted to men, but do not throw me in jail for being attracted to children, because I am not.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a great point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been something that's constantly, and we're doing it now. We're doing it today. I think that like it is important in a way to be making art. And that's something I've always liked is it doesn't change. Like the shit that's going on now happened 50 years ago, happened 100 years ago. Like it doesn't change, but you can learn from it and we can overcome it. So it's like, I think, you know, with this is like, yeah, there's always been gay people in the military. There's always been this rumor about, like, it's just nothing new. Nothing is new.
Yeah.
So.
Nothing is new.
Rowling's always been transphobic. So.
She's
I don't know that she's always been transphobic, but she certainly is now. It's a weird hill for her to die on.
It's in the history books.
Well, it is now. But, but I remember, I mean, I read all those books as they came out. I mean, you're probably too young to have done that, but
I read them all.
Well, they aren't. The last two books had absolutely no editing. I don't know if you're familiar with the idea of 200 pages of camping, but that can fuck itself.
Listen,
all the way to hell and back.
You know, I think I really blocked that out of my mind until just this very moment.
Yeah,
but I do remember that.
There were hundreds of pages of camping. There was no need for
that.
It
was rough.
It was genuinely no need.
Yeah.
It was all of a sudden they go back to camping. I was like,
do something.
What is happening? Why are we camping again? And
how do you? What do you, like? What is this whole? You probably talked about this, but I'm like, why are we making a new version? What's going on? Like, what's happening?
Oh,
there's a whole new
tired.
TV show now. It's crazy.
Oh, I just think that they want to. That there's just it's a cash cow, right? They got to reboot something. I don't know. Everything doesn't need to be remade, and like some things are broken, and I think that we know cruising. Maybe not cruising. A revolution needs to be remade.
That is true.
So
cruising should. I mean, cruising could be remade
from 1985.
Maybe they'll remake Cruise. Maybe they'll remake Revolution and call it Cruising for a Bruising, the Revolutionary History or something like that. Yeah.
I like that. I think that's great.
Entirely. I don't mind that. Sure.
Yeah,
so, by the way, I am talking with Caleb Zarang and Jenny Zagrino. They have written something called The Drill Master, and it is historical fiction, but historical, and it's a comedy, and it's about that Prussian guy who came and made everybody march correctly and fire their guns together towards the redcoats during the Revolutionary War. And
teach him how to march. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, if you go to thedrillmaster.gay, or you go to Caleb Zarang or Jenny Zagrino. Both of them have websites with their names attached to them. And it's at Caleb.Marang and at Jenny Zagrino on Instagram. And all that. It's May 3rd in L.A., May 1st in San Francisco. They're doing stand-up. So now we get back to it. And tell me about the Drill Master. Pardon?
Okay, so another thing that he did is that the camps were, so Valley Forge at the time is like the fourth biggest city in the colonies. There's 11,000 people there. And it's disgusting. Like the hygiene there is so awful. You know, we talk about this in the play, but like the kitchens are next to the toilets and like soldiers have no clothes. And it's just, it's disgusting. And when he gets there, like he brings with him a chef. The chef leaves immediately. The chef says, I'm good. I'm not doing this.
I'm not working with these people in these conditions.
Yeah. He leaves. So in the blue book that von Steuben writes later that we use in the army, he writes a whole thing of like, you can't put the toilets in the kitchen. You can't do this. Like this is
which was
how
news to me.
Proper new, I didn't even know. I've been shitting in my kitchen sink this whole time.
Well, that's because, have you ever lived in New York? The kitchen and the bathroom, that's where it is. That's all there's room for.
But yeah, like he also not just taught them how to be soldiers, but also taught them how to like not get dysentery every week. Like
And that happens to this day in the military. Young men and women join the military and learn how to brush their teeth.
I'm not even kidding. Thought they get dysentery in the military stuff. So. I mean, look, I've never had dysentery. Maybe it's not really that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, you just quietly.
Oh, I'm sure it's a freaking nightmare. What are you, nuts?
Well, Jenny's a method actress. And it was she's getting dysentery for the May 3rd date. Yeah.
Yeah, but like sometimes that's very exciting.
60 years later, some guy named Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
Oh, were you just gonna riff? And I've
been gonna riff. I think we're on a little bit of a lag.
Well, every time I've done other Riverside tapings with more than two people, and it sometimes blows. So it takes another like 60 years for Joseph Lister to introduce the idea of washing your fucking hands. So, it's going to be gross. And
he gets thrown into an asylum because they think he's out of his mind.
Yeah, he's just nuts. That guy wants to scrub everything down before he cuts off a leg. And you're like, we were hoping to have people live through this surgery.
Nah. The more blood you had on your apron, the better a surgeon you were. That's how they knew. Just put your hands in someone else.
You were good at it.
Put it in someone else. Look at all that blood on him. He must be so good at this.
He must be really good at it. Just going to keep moving. Anyway, it's are you thinking about writing other such things? Are there other and will you ever write if you could get a collaboration? Actually, let me back up. If you could get a collaboration, would you put it to music? Would you animate it? Would you put it on ice?
I think maybe if musical possible. On ice, no. Would I love it to be like a little miniseries? Yes. That would be really fun. Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
We have, I'm excited for our cast for the May 3rd one is going to be awesome. It's going to be, we've got Bobcat Goldthwait playing Washington.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. We've got John Marco Cerezzi playing John Lawrence. Cameron Esposito's playing Benjamin Walker. Francesca Ramsey is our villain. Thomas Conway. We've got it's so cool. Like I would love to have a full production and just have my friends who are hilarious do these roles.
Right.
We're really trying to put Cola Scola out of business.
It's a hell of a group. And none of them live here.
Oh yeah. Fuck you, Cole. No, I love you. I'm so sorry.
Call us, okay? Please, we're sorry.
Yeah, so I think that. And then, I don't know, Caleb, you've got a lot going on with Luigi and stuff. Would you want to do another play? What do you want to do,
Caleb? I love plays. I mean,
is Luigi about Luigi?
Here's the playbill right here. Luigi... the musical. It's about the mostly true fact about Luigi Mangione, Diddy, and Sam Bankman-Fried. We're all in the same prison at the same time. And so the SF Comics and I, the creator Nova Bradford, kind of came and said, "Hey, let's write a musical about that." And I was like, "That'll never happen." But yeah, sure. And then we ended up just keeping with it. Ariel Johnson, Andre Margatini also co-wrote. And our first debut, the first time I've ever acted on stage and sang, the New York Times was there. So that was really fun. That was terrifying and, missed a few notes, but here we are now. So I'm very excited about it. It's kind of a wild, crazy play.
Live performance. And so it's been up in San Francisco and is now going to Off-Broadway?
Yeah, so it was in San Francisco. It had, I think, 13 shows here, and then it went to Edinburgh Fringe last year. And John Marco was nice enough to do an opening set for us. And then we have partnered with Alan Clifford, and he's going to be taking it to Green Room 42 for Off-Broadway reading. I have to say his other thing that I'm so excited about, they're doing Hebrew Rivalry, the musical parody, which is also written by another queer playwright. So very exciting to just get a lot of gayness going on in the world right now, you know?
Good. Yeah. Right in their
theater,
face.
It's Fuck weird. Em. Yeah.
It's true. It's like you have to be so visible. You can't look, I feel sometimes
that's why I show whole on my plays. It's always written in the contract. Yeah. Whole out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, his butthole does an entire song. That's the one song.
It's pretty moving.
Yeah.
Your butthole move?
You should see it, Jackie. No. It's crazy.
I've got whole talk, so it doesn't move at all.
It's done with puppets.
I feel like, I think that there's like a feeling of, it can feel very hopeless, especially like what we're going through right now. But the best thing you can do, you know, if you can't become a politician, is just be visible. Like, don't try to let them hide you. And I think that's kind of like a thing I've always liked with my comedy, was like big visibility of who I am and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. It can be scary, but it's like any muscle that you work, you know, you can't be brave until you're brave. And once you're brave once, which could also be called stupid, but once you're brave once, you can do it again and again and again until they shut up. So, huge
Jackie,
fan.
Jackie, do you like theater? Do you see any plays generally?
I don't.
No.
I do like theater.
Okay. Well, I'll see you soon.
Here's
nice. It's been a great interview.
he throws the table up and storms out.
You know,
I've actually been. So what I do is I always am reading a book. I'm also rereading a book on Kindle or whatever. And then I'm also listening to an audiobook. These three things usually stop the voices. Now, the book that I have been listening to is a really great book that is written. It's essentially an interview book of Shakespeare, the guy who pays the rent, the man who pays the rent. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about this book? It is Judi Dench. It is Judi Dench and Brendan O'Hea. And it is an interview, Judi Dench, Shakespeare, the man who pays the rent. And it is an interview with Judi Dench of all the parts in Shakespeare that she's played.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. And the guy, Brendan, who has interviewed her, is the curator of the Globe Theater in London. And he interviewed her for like 100 hours. And he was just doing it for the archive at the Globe. And then they were like, well, everyone would like to hear that. And then he spent 3 years editing out her saying the word cunt 100 times or 1,000,000 times. And so now
Jenny
it's a 10 hour.
Yeah. I actually made it.
And now it's a great book.
Saying cunt.
That's actually my next hour.
What I will say about the thing about that book, the Shakespeare book, is that it makes me want to see Shakespeare. Because what she does is she, like, for example, A Midsummer's Night Dream, she's played like three different parts in it. All the women parts are small, but she's played all of them. And so she's played like number one fairy. She's played Tits, the queen of the fairies. Yeah. And she's played the human love interest lady. So she describes that play from all three parts. And I've never seen him in Summer's Night Dream, but now I could, because I would get what the fuck was going on.
I think you would love O'Mary.
Oh, yeah. Jackie, you should see O'Mary.
What's O'Mary?
Oh, my God.
Wow, this is really homophobic of you.
Jackie, when's the next time you're in New York?
Get Jackie.
I'm doing it with Maria in October, I think, the Bell House.
Oh, you guys got to take a day and go see O Mary.
I mean, we should all go and see O Mary together. Running. Here it is.
Right now, who's on it? Who's Tina Fey is going to be.
Maya Rudolph. Maya Rudolph is about to be
Rudolph,
on there.
Maya Rudolph, not Tina Fey. Maya Rudolph.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Oh, it's the Mary Todd Lincoln one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the way Cole came up with it is they emailed themselves back in 2009 and said, what if it wasn't so bad for Mary Todd if Lincoln got assassinated? And that was like the whole premise of the play. Like, and so so we're different than O Mary in that we try to be historically accurate, but I think Jenny, it's safe to say we were both really inspired by how just like over the top silly, and it's a strict play, no music, and it's crushing on Broadway. So I think like there's a huge appetite for things like this and Titanic and to a lesser extent, like Luigi, yeah, the musical and stuff. It's just very gay, campy stuff.
Did you ever see Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter?
No,
I need to. I've heard it's so good. The book is supposed to be great.
Well, the movie was amazing, though. Of course, it did not historically accurate because Lincoln actually didn't come to abolitionism until much later.
Oh,
womp, 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 womp. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love a little retelling of history, as you do with those little romance novels. Okay.
Sure. Are you kidding? They've done a horrible thing with romance novels since the popularity of Bridgerton. They have changed. They've taken them from mass market size, and now they make them trade market size, so that instead of the books being $7.99, they're $14.99.
Yes. They've doubled the price. Yeah. I'm doing a romance novel convention at the end of July in Dallas. I'm going to go do like work for some, cause I'm getting more into that world. Cause I'm like writing them, but also I should just do some escapism. I think I'm scrolling too much, you know?
When I think of romance, I think of Dallas.
Yeah. You know? The show, yeah. Dallas.
Yeah.
Who shot him? Who knows?
Who shot him?
Jackie, what's your favorite like romance series?
Well, the ones I was just thinking of that there's a newer writers is actually quite good. And I can't, and it's very hard. I tend to pick romance novels, I judge them by their cover. Impossible to do at the trade paperback level because it's all clip art. And you're like, is that a top hat? Is that something I'm going to want to read? And it's not fair. Yeah. I know that. Anyway.
You want a hot guy. You want a hot guy in a vest. I get it.
And do you know that I once bought a romance novel at the the Rite Aid by my house in Van Nuys, which is now closed. And it was about Wellington and Waterloo. And it was about a guy who went to war with his best friend and was killed during that war. And the best friend came back and was super sad. And then he met his best friend's cousin and was like, God, I'm really attracted to you. And it turns out that his best friend is trans.
Oh, this and was so, at the Rite Aid? This was years ago.
At the Rite Aid. This was 2 years ago at the Rite Aid. Yeah.
That's great. What's it called?
I don't know. I don't remember.
It was called At the Rite Aid.
It's actually unfortunate that I don't know that author and the name of that book. And they just picked it by the cover like I did. You know, Rite Aid just stocks craptastic novels. And they're like, who knows what they're about? So I'm reading it. And it's about this guy falling in love with his friend from grade school that he went to war with, who used the war as a way to kill his old name. And then her brother inherits the earldom. And she's like, so I'm going to come back as our cousin, Elizabeth, and I'm going to live with you and your wife, but you're going to get to be the earl. And I'm just going to live with you guys and live as a woman. And her brother was like, Love it. I get to be the Earl. You get to be a woman. We all win. And then the friends from Eton, from grade school, fall in love again. And the guy who was his friend, he has to essentially, of course, reveal, I am trans. I am Jim or whoever you went to grade school with. And the guy's like, that's fine.
I love it.
We'll work around it. I didn't need kids anyway. We'll adopt.
I love that.
Jack.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Jackie, have you ever read any of Madeline Miller?
No. Madeline Miller. How do you spell? Is it just M-I-L-L-E-R?
Yeah. So I really like her Song of Achilles. It's basically she takes all these mythological things and then spins them into novels. And she does a really great job. But Song of Achilles is kind of like a love story between Achilles and his like gay lover, which is apparently very much in that mythology. I forgot who that is, but one of my favorite authors. It's really, really great. And so hot if you like romance novels. I don't. And I loved this book. So it's fantastic.
Well, and the crazy thing about the Waterloo trans story was I liked the story, but that isn't my porn, right? Like I couldn't sadly be more boring. I mean, there's not a hole in the sheet when my husband and I do it, but it's like, it's pretty cishet, except for that he's queer. He's bisexual and had his first boyfriend was a boyfriend. And, right. And so he was like, you know, when we got married, he said to somebody, you know, I'm bisexual. And I said, I believe you meant to say I'm monogamous. And because you be whatever you want, but could the
you're
sexy
with me
times
now,
just
buddy.
Be you're yeah, yeah it's just me and you we've discussed this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be looking for anything out in the world, and if you would like, and if I ever do want to, I will alert you prior. How about that?
Yeah.
And that is our agreement about infidelity or about you know, screwing around. I was just like, if you think you need to do it, just tell me. We'll talk about it, and I'll probably say yes and then regret it. We won't know.
That's
we won't
what
know.
Therapy's aww. For. Go to
you
therapy.
Are a gay man at heart.
Yeah.
Sure, because I'd be like, I'd be sad, but I'd also be like, well, I guess if you want it, you should probably go get it. Feel free to use it.
And then you'll just do a lot of ketamine, and it's fine, you know?
Oh, finally. What is ketamine?
I don't know.
We don't have time. We don't have time on the podcast.
You're right. We have 5 minutes left, you guys. Everyone, find Jenny Zagrino and Caleb Zarang. And find
we'll
all of
the
their
ketamine.
Works. Right, right. They will not be carrying. Or maybe they will be. You could
It'll
at least
be in my
ask.
Body by then. I won't be carrying it. I'll be absorbed by it.
Right. If Jenny has ketamine, she doesn't have ketamine. She has taken the ketamine.
I had ketamine. It is a test on that.
Is it a blessing?
It's actually part of Passover today. No unleavened bread, but ketamine is okay.
My mother-in-law passed away about a year ago, a little over a year ago, and she lived with us, and it was hospice, and the nurse came, and she had gone through hospice and then rallied and then went through hospice a second time. And so the second time the nurse comes and she's like, I'm going to leave you guys some morphine so that her last days can be okay. And Andy, the man I'm married to, is the most honest person on the planet, and said, oh, the last hospice nurse left us with some morphine. And I was like, hey, I don't want to do morphine, but why would you give away our morphine?
And he said that.
You're a hoarder. At the end of the day, Jackie, you're just a hoarder.
I am not a hoarder. Allow me to show you Andy's Hot Wheel collection.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And games and comic books. And I'm just here.
That's where all his bi energy goes into now, is all the cars. Yeah.
Very possible. Very possible. All right, you guys. We're essentially at an hour, but we should tell people that what's the name of the German guy, the drill master?
Friedrich von Steuben.
There we go. Close enough.
There you
Let's
go.
Let's just go with everybody should just get the three names. Nobody needs
the Baron.
19
just
names.
Just call him the Baron.
You know that my nephew who designed the very first Dork Forest t-shirt, his name is Salmon Patrick Wolfgang Beemel Benroot.
Hell
and
yes.
He could have been a Prussian general.
100%. I want to name my kid Wolfgang. Go. I love the name Wolfgang.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's what Salmon, his in high school, they used to call him Pez. Because of the Spanish word for fish.
Not the candy dispenser, which is where my mind
right.
went. Okay.
Right. And he's now like ground floor some tech bro bullshit in San Francisco, trying not to become fabulously wealthy while also being fabulously wealthy. And he's just like,
tonight. Come on.
I know, take my money. Yeah, he's they have a baby. They have a baby.
Oh.
So yeah, this right. So this is in May, but this will come out in early. Yeah, it'll come out in early May. It'll come out next week, I think.
Perfect. Which it is early April next week. April next week. But yeah, no.
Right, right. Fine. Yeah, that's good. It's several. Right. This will come out, I believe, April 7th.
Cool.
And so
Early May, April 7th.
April 7th. So early. I have to record
and if you want
to
come,
three more of these.
Jackie,
yes.
We're happy to put tickets aside for you if you want to come May 3rd.
I'm going to Germany.
Hell yeah.
Then I'm going to come back.
Deutschland. Where are you going?
Yeah. I'm going to, first of all, I'm going to be back because it's April, not May.
Okay. But you're still
I'm going
busy.
To Berlin. I'm going to Berlin. Okay. And, going to Berlin, going to do a couple of shows, one Easter Sunday night, like God intended, and then one the following Friday when everybody had already forgotten Jesus. So it's,
that's
I bet the Germans love you. You have just like the perfect German
well,
sense
if
of humor.
Well, if you're around in late April, May 3rd.
May 3rd. Okay, I'm doing a show in Studio City, Peter Kim, the Peter Kim show.
It's at 5 p.m.
Yours is at
it's
five, an
early
and I think
show.
I could do it. That's
we love it. We'd
Elysium,
love to have
I
you.
I love the Elysium too. I'd love to come. So I will put it in my calendar. You guys rule. Dogs
thank
rule.
You, Jackie.
Thank you.
Really love
you, Jackie.
Nice to meet you too. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?